Well, good morning, everyone. It is 10 o'clock. We're gathered in the 12th floor of the state capitol for the regularly scheduled North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting. My name's Julie Fedorchak. I call this commission meeting to order. Joining me are Commissioners Randy Christman and Brian Crosius, so we have a quorum. I have a couple opening comments, but I'm pretty sure they're nothing that anybody else is going to talk about, so I'm going to let you guys go first, and then I'll do my opening comments, go right into my items. So you're first, Randy. Any opening comments?
Well, only to say, and I mean, we don't talk from here about every retirement that occurs, but just specifically out of our very small reclamation division, we have three retirements in a pretty short order. One that occurred during the summer, one that occurred as of the beginning of this month, and one that doesn't have a timeline yet, but the person has just notified us that it's forthcoming and probably not too long. And so we're going to have a little celebration for those three tomorrow. But I just wanted to use the timing of three retirements out of that small group and all the years of experience that they've piled up and just the national attention through reclamation divisions around the country, as well as the Federal Office of Surface Mining that North Dakota has got for just running an outstanding and very efficient program. And these gentlemen are going to be sorely missed. And so very grateful for the time that they gave the commission in the state of North Dakota.
Excellent comments, and I would echo those. Commissioner Crosius?
No, I'd echo the same, well put, and you know, collectively, I don't know, is that getting closer to a century of service? Or?
I'm sure it would be very close.
Yeah, that's a heck of a contribution, so thank you to them for sure. Other than that, just good morning, everyone.
All right, great. So a couple things I wanted to briefly hit on this morning. First of all, yesterday, FERC issued its final report on the February 2021 winter storm. And the report is 300 pages long, so it's not like a quick and easy read, but there are some good summaries provided at the front end. And I wanted to highlight a few of those things. It highlights something else I want to talk about. So we all remember this event. The report summarizes some of the high points or the most notable things. So there was 34,000 megawatts unavailable for 2 days of generation in Texas. And that was almost exactly half of their peak demand on those 2 days. So they lost half of their demand. This was the fourth cold weather winter event in the last 10 years that threatened the bulk electric supply. And so that's pretty strong indication that there's some pretty massive changes happening on the electric system. 210 people died, and some of those deaths were caused by carbon monoxide poisoning for people running heaters and such in their homes that weren't equipped to do that, and hypothermia. There was, the Federal Reserve estimates there was $80 billion to $130 billion in economic loss as a result of those events. And what's really disturbing is that a lot of this was preventable. Outages, a combination of freezing issues and fuel issues. So freezing issues was 44% of the cause of 44% of the outages, and fuel issues were caused by 31%. Those, so for a total of 75% of the unplanned generating unit outages, derates or failures to start were caused by lack of fuel or freezing. And of the fuel, of the generating units that went out, natural gas-fired units were represented nearly 60% of all of them experiencing unplanned outages. The remaining portion was wind, which was 27%, coal, which was 6%, solar 2%, and nuclear was less than 1%. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of low-hanging fruit that can be changed here to prevent this sort of thing in the future. And sadly, these same issues popped up in 2011 in some serious weather issues in Texas and 2008. So these were lessons that we've learned before. Shouldn't have been repeated. But as the system moves from the traditional fossil fuel-based generation and transmission to the a much more dynamic blend of renewables, batteries, and new technologies, new fuels that we haven't even really seen or incorporated yet, there's just a whole lot of things that need to be considered and planned for. And so that brings me to my second point, and that is, last week was the annual meeting for the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners. We call it NARUC. And it's an organization that I've been a member of since I started on the commission almost 10 years ago. Randy the same, and Brian has been a member since he's been here. We're pretty active in NARUC. And last weekend, I was installed as the second vice president of NARUC, which puts me in line to be the president of that organization in 2024. And so first of all, I'm super honored. Obviously, there's 50 states that are members of that, and Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. So it's a large national organization. I'm really honored to be selected to serve at in a leadership role. I'm on the executive committee for the next 2 years, and then I'll be the head of the whole thing in 2024, as I said. And I want to, first of all, start by thanking Brian and Randy for supporting me in pursuing this. Obviously, this is going to take some time, and I'm not going to ignore my work in North Dakota. I'm going to take care of business here first, but I obviously am going to be on the road quite a lot in the next couple of years, and most certainly in 2024, and that always puts additional burdens back on the people here. So I appreciate Randy and Brian's support in me pursuing this role, as well as staff like Pamela, who's going to be holding down my schedule and helping manage all of that, and Stacy, who's going to be dealing with the media and those sorts of issues, Steve, just in general, running the shop as a whole, and all our staff in PUD and beyond. It's an extra burden for everybody, but I think it's a huge opportunity, and here's why I decided to throw my hat in the ring a year ago and why I'm excited about this opportunity. And it comes back to what I talked about on the front end of my comments here, all the changes that are occurring in this electric industry and the impact that they have on people, on their livelihood, and on our economy. It is a transformation like nothing we've ever seen in this industry, and this industry provides the foundation for just about everything else in our communities. So we have to get it right. There's so much to consider. There's so much excitement. There's so many opportunities, but it all has to be brought about in a very thoughtful and pragmatic way that keeps reliability and costs front and center. That's going to be my focus in my time, both in the next couple of years and in the year that I am in leadership, keeping front and center our main mission, which is maintaining reliability and affordability while also embracing the dynamic change and finding new and exciting ways to deliver the power in this new dynamic world with renewables and other exciting technologies that force us to rethink how we're providing these important essential services. So that's just a little breaking news from the last week that I wanted to highlight this morning, and also call attention to that FERC report, because I feel like it's really important for everyone to consider that leading into this winter and beyond. And I think it does identify a few things that we'll want to highlight, even with the regulated utilities here, even though they're no strangers to cold weather or weatherization and all those types of issues. So with that, I'll move into the agenda items. First, we have a number of items on consent. I want to move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right. I have a couple items in my portfolio. First off, I move the commission adopt the order on tree and shrub mitigation specifications in Sakakawea Pipeline Company's 16-inch crude oil pipeline McKinsey and Montreal siting application case number PU-15-114 and in Sakakawea Pipeline Company LLC 16-inch crude oil pipeline McKinsey County siting application case number PU-15-744.
Second.
So this is, again, another case of a company seeking to change out in its order the original tree and shrub mitigation plan that was approved at the time of the order to the newer tree and shrub mitigation specifications that the commission approved in 2019. This company wishes to be have its tree and shrub mitigation considered under the new specifications, and this order makes that change and approves that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission adopt the amended findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Danbury Green Pipeline, North Dakota, LLC, 12-inch Cedar Hills Pipeline Project Slope and Bowman siting application case number PU-19-294.
Second.
So this motion really approves an amended order, and the order is amended to extend in a few locations the corridor that is included for this project. During construction, they had to make some adjustments to the corridor based on some constructability issues to avoid some existing underground infrastructure that they had a better view of after they were out and constructing. And so this just modifies the designated corridor that was used and relevant in this pipeline construction.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I feel like they're kind of late in filing this, or are we somehow delayed in reacting to a filing? I can't remember when they really filed, but mm-hmm. Is this coming along kind of late in the process compared to their construction? Because I believe the construction is done.
The construction is done.
And so is there something else forthcoming? Is there a potential penalty involved, or did they have it filed timely? Or
this was a case, and then any further action would be pursued by the staff. But this is a case of, again, when the as-built filings were provided, it became apparent that there was additional corridor space needed. So it revealed itself during that process.
And I know it was very small. It's not like they were way outside.
Yeah, it's a pretty modest amount.
Okay.
I think the important piece here is that the reason for the changes were pretty relevant. You know, there was additional pipelines in there that they were trying to avoid and adjust according to the presence of infrastructure there that they needed to adjust around.
Okay, thanks for that explanation.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And moving right along, a public hearing on the application in the case number PU-05-47. Will begin Friday, December 17th at 11 a.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room. This is Rugby Wind LLC, and they're filing with the commission a request for an extension of time to equip the Rugby Wind Farm with functioning light mitigating technology.
You need a motion, Commissioner.
Did I move that?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead to the second page. Okay, let's back up.
Let's try that again.
I thought that seemed funny.
I could second it first, and then you could say it.
Can we do the motion, and then I've already said what I already said?
Let's do it.
We'll start over. Okay, sorry about that. I move the commission issue the notice of hearing in Rugby Wind LLC, Rugby Wind Farm, Pierce County siting application case number PU-05-47.
Second.
Let's hope I don't do that when I'm neighbor president. Okay, a public hearing on the application in this case will be held on December 17th at 11 a.m. in the commission hearing room. Rugby Wind LLC is filing for an extension of time to equip their facility with functioning light mitigating technology, and we will listen to their justification for that request and that extension during the hearing. Any public who has an interest in this or has thoughts about that can participate in this hearing electronically. And you can listen telephonically, and you can also provide written input, and all of those methods are going to be posted on our website and available there for future reference.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So maybe I'm being finicky here because all my items were on consent. This one kind of bothered me to some extent. So they filed for this extension on November 2nd, I believe. So less than 2 months before the deadline. So it seems unlikely that even if successful, an extension could occur before they already passed the deadline. But what really bothered me is, didn't we already do this last summer? Didn't they file for an extension and we unanimously said no?
They filed for an extension to use a different lighting system, and we said, no, we're not going to give it to you for that reason. But the law allows them to file for an extension for economic or technical reasons, and that's my understanding is they're filing under those criteria.
Okay.
So I think they're entitled to make their case to us. We can base it on the facts of the case.
I have the same concerns from a timing standpoint. However, I think it's important that we remain impartial and give them the opportunity to be heard, even though, again, I would echo the same concerns in terms of the timing and the fact that we've already made a ruling on this. But it is their right to bring that back before the commission and request a hearing. So.
It just would seem to me when you file for an extension, you would lay out all your reasons, and you can't always keep coming back. Well, now we thought of a different reason, and we'll try that one. But anyway, I guess we'll just go ahead with it.
Yeah. That's what I would prefer to do.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my portfolio. And now it's over to you, Brian.
Okay, thank you. On my first item, I'd like to hold BK1 over and add it to admin discussion. So I would like to do that, and the reason for it is when I went through the penalty amount, not that I necessarily had a concern with the amount of the penalty, but typically, and I don't recall not suspending any more than half, and in this case, it's suspending two-thirds of the amount. So I'd like to have that discussion and ensure that we're being consistent and fair to those cases before, which arguably then they may question why they didn't have a lower amount. But add that to discussion if we could, and hold the order over. And with, do we need any formal action on that? Any objections to holding it over?
Mm.
Okay. Then I'll move into my next item, BK2. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission, Beck Consulting LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-21-377.
Second.
Okay, this was on the agenda the last time around, but the first point I want to make, and it's an important point, is this is Beck, B-E-K, Beck Consulting. It is not Beck Communications.
Mm-hmm.
So very close, but I want to make sure there isn't any confusion on that. Beck Communications, a valued organization in North Dakota, so they just happen to have very, very similar names. So I wanted to make that point. But this, well, I'll just start at the top here. On August 30th of 2021, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Montana Dakota Utilities alleging a violation by Beck Consulting, LLC, of North Dakota Century Code, the One Call Excavation Notice System. The commission did send a letter to Beck Consulting, enclosing the August complaint. Beck did respond to the complaint on October 7th of 2021. A consent agreement between Public Service Commission advocacy staff and Beck was filed for resolution of the complaint. Again, Beck Consulting, also in Dickinson, not Beck Communications. They provided an excavation notice to the North Dakota One Call Center. This was on August 13th of 2021. They began the excavation within the time period allowed on the ticket. They began that on August 27th, but as a result of that excavation, damage occurred to a 3/4-inch natural gas line. Damage was estimated at approximately $1,000. One natural gas customer was affected by the incident. And the complaint alleges a violation for failure to conduct an excavation in a careful and prudent manner. And North Dakota Century Code, that is a requirement that in order to avoid damage, minimize interference, that the ticket holder shall conduct an excavation in a careful and prudent manner. Having investigated the alleged violations, advocacy staff believes Beck did violate North Dakota Century Code. Advocacy staff and Beck engaged in good faith settlement discussions, and under the consent agreement, and I'll explain this in just a little more detail, Beck agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $1,500 for this incident. It would be remittable to the Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of an order accepting the consent agreement. Also under the consent agreement, Beck agrees to remit the civil penalty that was suspended in previous cases, number PU-21-20-34321-241 and 21-305. They had similar instances in that case. And as a condition of that order, Beck Consulting agreed that if any future violation, and the order states this, occurred after the consent agreement was accepted and voted on and approved, which it was, that they would remit the suspended portion of that penalty stemming from those three cases. And that was $2,650. So this is a consent agreement that Beck has agreed to, working with advocacy staff. So in total, there is a civil penalty of $1,500 in this case, 21-377, and then also the $2,650 that was suspended. So this was a timing issue. The complaint was received after the consent agreement was filed, even though it was 5 days later. The consent agreement was filed on, I believe, August 25th. The consent, and then the complaint came in, this complaint came in on August 30th. So the way the order is written, and it would be a requirement that they suspend, or not suspend, but remit the suspended portion. And I realize it was 5 days later. We hadn't approved the first order yet, but I worked with legal on it and asked the questions that I think needed to be asked. And you know, this complaint did come in 5 days later. So they were in violation. I think the other point, two points. One, they have agreed to remit it. So we do have a consent agreement in place. And I think it's the proper thing to do. And the other point is, this was the fourth time they hit a natural gas line doing their work. So while arguably it was a 5 day window, just 5 days later that this complaint came in, I'm looking at it as they hit four lines. And when you hit four lines, particularly after you've had three previous incidents spanning over the previous year, I'm in support of collecting the suspended portion as well as the $1,500 fine. So it's a total of $4,150. I think it sends the right message to industry that, yes, you need to get a ticket. That's a requirement. But you also have to do the work very carefully when you're out there, particularly around facilities that have been identified, properly marked, which they were, that include a natural gas line, because we talk about the damage, the amount to repair damages that occur, but you can't ignore the public safety aspect. And the one thing that I always that always concerns me when an operator isn't being as careful as they should, when a line is hit and identified that was hit, it can be repaired. When a line is compromised but not identified as being damaged, and then the work is completed, the ground is restored, it can be a year, it can be 2 years, it can be 5 years later, where if there's a small leak, the gas will migrate through the point, through the path of least resistance. And when that occurs, some very bad things can happen. It can collect near a foundation of a home, near a business, and down the road you can have a serious incident. So I think the fine is appropriate, given the circumstances. It's a sizable fine for hitting a 3/4 inch line. But I think it's very appropriate in this instance.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I will say that I don't like my position on this case. I can't support the motion. I seconded it for discussion purposes, but and I wish I could, because I think it's actually the right resolution. But there are technicalities involved that I think are also important long-term for the commission. This company has agreed to this, and that's one of the things that makes it really hard, that they chose to agree to this. But the fact of the matter is that agreement, the previous agreement with the suspended $2,650 penalty, was not official when this last strike occurred. They had agreed to it with staff, but that doesn't really become an official thing until we approve it, and we had not approved it yet. And we do things here all the time on very important timelines, and sometimes many things become official when we vote on things in these meetings. Some things that we do have implementation dates. We do, you know, a certain date for rates to take effect, or a certain length of time that a rider will be in effect. We didn't choose to make this, the previous settlement agreement with the suspended penalty, official with a retroactive date to the date it was signed. In my mind, that became something that was hanging over their head in September when we approved it. And so, although I think the company probably deserves this penalty, I think the proper thing for us to do is to follow the timelines on the actions that we've had in front of us, and just acknowledge that they should get really lucky here and only pay the penalty on this case, and the previous cases are what they are, and that $2,650 is still hanging over their heads if they have another one. But I don't agree that it was hanging over their heads when this strike occurred, and so I don't feel comfortable with collecting it in this case.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, I actually do support this motion, and I think it's absolutely the right way to go. And Brian, I think you and staff have done a good job working through this. I agree, it would have been better if staff had kind of put the brakes on the whole thing and brought it all to us as one big case with multiple incidences, and we could have considered it all together. But that said, the staff and the company who violated the law negotiated this and came up with an agreement, and that supersedes everything else in terms of the timing that and whatnot. They came up with a consent agreement. They're comfortable with it. It recognizes the complexity of this case, the multiple different strikes, the severity of the strikes. And I think it's appropriate, and I'm definitely going to support it. I would say one more, note of caution to this company. Not only could you have caused a leak that could not be found, and this gas could pool and cause, a huge explosion down the road, but their employees are at risk operating like this with heavy equipment and natural gas lines. They're lucky with four strikes that somebody operating that equipment wasn't seriously injured or killed. And so I'm not interested in getting tangled up in the timelines when the company obviously hopefully recognizes themselves and has agreed with staff to pay this fine. I think it's appropriate, and I'm happy to support it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved.
Okay, next on my agenda or my list, I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-21-420.
Second.
Okay, this again is a notice of opportunity for hearing on November 1st, 2021. MDU filed a change to its renewable resource cost adjustment rates. The new rates reflect projected costs through December 31st, 2022, related to the investment in the Thunder Spirit Wind Project, Cedar Hills Wind Project, and Diamond Willow Wind Project, and reflect a projected overcollected balance of the current renewable resource cost adjustment as of December 31st of 2021. The effect of this rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 894 kilowatt hours per month is a decrease of $1.20 per month. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of MDU's tariff. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 1st, 2022. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. So for those, if there are any interested parties, they can contact the Public Service Commission and express their desire for a hearing. But this is a part of the annual updates that we receive on a number of riders that the different companies that we regulate, the investor-owned utilities, file each year. So this one would result in a decrease, again, of $1.20 per month.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and finally on my agenda, I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-21-421.
Second.
Okay, this is very similar. Again, on November 1st, 2021, MDU filed a change to its generation resource cost recovery rates. Same time period, the new rates reflect projected costs through December 31st, 2022. And these are related to investment in the Lewis and Clark reciprocating internal combustion engine units and reflect, a projected overcollected balance of the current rider as of December 31st, 2021. The effect of the rate change on a bill, again, for an average residential customer would be a decrease of 3 cents per month. So not a significant number, but I think it does demonstrate the level of accuracy that is required on these riders. They're very precise. Staff does an excellent job reviewing the numbers and keeping things in line. The same issues, will be considered in this proceeding that I had mentioned in the previous case. And again, those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing if they should desire a hearing. And once again, comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 1st of 2022. That just seems... okay, that's correct. Time flies.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
All right.
Madam Chairwoman, thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent.
And congratulations as well on the second vice president. I had gone before you, but soon to lead NARUC in the not. Obviously, time moves fast. We'll blink and you'll be running the show. So it's fantastic to have you there and have someone from an energy-rich state like North Dakota and with the knowledge of all of the different resources. That perspective, I think, will be invaluable. You're going to continue to do a great job, and your leadership will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so moving into the announcements, and then we'll take a brief break. We have tomorrow a hearing with Basin Electric on their request for a waiver from the light mitigating technology requirements. And then in the afternoon, we have a work session on a MDU transmission line siting application. And then on Monday, we head out to Williston for a pipeline, a relatively short crude oil pipeline siting application hearing. And then next Tuesday, right before Thanksgiving, we have a periodic information exchange meeting with MDU. And then after Thanksgiving, there's a couple meetings that come up around annually. I've noticed that the band meeting is not on here, and I think that we're all probably going to be participating in some of that, so we'll probably be needing to add that, or you already did. Awesome. Okay.
29th and 30th.
29th and 30th, okay.
And
all right.
Probably, I think going into Brian's birthday on the 31st or whatever that day is after the 30th.
Yes, November 31st.
You actually fooled me, even though I know the rhyme, Brian. Okay, with that, we'll take a brief adjournment and